Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Flank. Today's episode is presented by the Xfinity 10G Network. It doesn't matter if you're gaming, streaming, competing, the Xfinity 10G Network will give you fast speeds with less interruptions. Make sure to go check it out. Huge shout out to Xfinity. I'm joined by the executive producer, Mr. Benjamin Azim. I'm joined by Christopher Duarte, Parasite, and of course, the one and only Patrick Price, a.k.a. Aches the Slayer. Gentlemen, what's going on, man? How you guys doing, man? You guys doing good today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I played golf this morning, had a pretty good time.
Ben, when don't you play fucking golf, Ben? Let's be honest. When don't you play golf?
I got to enjoy, you know, the time on the weekend, you know what I mean? And all that.
Yeah, but, of course, bro. Of course, man.
But, you know, matches today were, you know, it was interesting. There wasn't a lot of, like, losers bracket drama because we had four teams on four losses prior to today.
Yeah.
But obviously the whole qualifying for champs storyline, there's some definite kind of movement on that today, and I'm excited to dive in on that, take a look at the bracket, and get ready for our final show before we go to Toronto.
Yeah, Chris, how you doing, bro? You doing all right, Chris?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Pretty much on the same page as Ben. I'm just looking forward to Toronto and then eventually Vegas, man. We're getting ready to close out the season, and these two events are about to be bangers.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for it. And, of course, we got Patrick Price, the Slayer Aches. What's going on, Pat? You doing all right, bro? Is everything with X Defiant? I know you've been a pretty busy guy, man.
Yeah, Tom, I'm doing good, but I am going to have to request something of the CDL. I want an investigation open, Tom.
Uh-oh. About what, Pat? Talk to me.
I think there was some match fixing going on today.
No!
Tom.
You think there's some match fixing?
And I want an investigation opened ASAP.
Why do you say that, Pat? What do you think's going on here? You think the New York Subliners putting in a sub like that? You think
the
that
Toronto
was cheese?
Rocker series? Mm-hmm. I have some questions.
Okay.
And the last one, I absolutely have some questions, mm-hmm. Tom.
Yeah,
I want an
sense,
investigation
Pat.
Open as soon as possible. It better be on somebody's desk Monday morning at 8 a.m.
No shot, bro. Nah, they're going to have to bring in the FBI or something. They're going to have to check this one out, bro. Something's up, Pat. Something's up. There were some interesting score lines today, huh? Watching New York play with a sub was a little weird. I don't know why they play with a sub. I love Wardy. I think he's a good player. I just didn't think it made any sense. And then, yeah, definitely Minnesota Rocker falling to Toronto Ultra was an interesting one as well. We'll obviously get into it and talk about it. Welcome to The Flank, everybody. Hope you guys all had a good day. We're going to hop into these games. And let's start with the first one. We had the Minnesota Rocker going up against Toronto Ultra. Kick things off on a Hydro Hardpoint, Hotel S&D, El Asilo Control, Fortress Hardpoint, El Asilo, Search and Destroy. I mean, guys, I'll kick it off with you guys. Anything on the vetoes? You think they were trolling the vetoes too, Pat? I mean, you guys think they were trolling this too or no? Maybe trying different maps and stuff? I don't think they were.
I think there's a Vegas conspiracy, Tom.
Oh, you think Vegas was putting some cash into the table?
I mean, the only Vegas conspiracy is they should have played better on land this year. But that aside, like, as far as vetoes go,
you didn't have to say it like that, bro.
I don't think it's too crazy. I mean, Rocker's been a solid control team, so the Expo ban is very much respect. And assuming that they're going to go to Asilo anyway. I think this set makes sense. And, you know, for Rocker, if you want to dive right into map one, like, bro, I mean, this team is looked good this weekend. Backs against the wall showed up. And, you know, we'll talk about the series, but it seems like some of the lusters went off a little bit for Toronto and closing out some of these series. They were doing so in the beginning of the year. But I got to give a lot of respect to Rocker. I thought they were looking really poor going this weekend. They brought in Attach. Not sure what was going on there, but they've definitely showed out. And, you know, weirdly enough, by the moves that they have made this weekend, the way the brackets worked out, uh-huh. I think suddenly they're actually in a better spot in champs than Seattle might be. Uh-huh. But we can get to that later in the show.
Yeah, I mean, we could get right into the map. We start things off on a Hydro Hardpoint. Pretty good break early on from the Toronto Ultra. Thought this was maybe a little bit of a troll here. For the Minnesota Rocker, we can kind of see how it plays out. Minnesota had them pushed out pretty far here, but they just died. They kind of chowed off of old, and they were able to get some flips out, and then they just used their numbers. They get aggressive. Dylan's kind of stuck here in the back. It was just good plays from Toronto to get aggressive off their kills off the P1. They were able to work a pretty good break here early on and get some good time. And then going into the P3, same thing. I really like the play from Hixie here. Some people didn't notice it during the watch party, but take a look at the route. He takes a super deep route here. Hixey goes all the way around, and I like the plays. One, I think Fame needs to be careful, man. He's there too late. He's got to know that somebody's there. He's got to know somebody's back there. But instead, he gets caught out. But look at the patience here from Hixey. He doesn't push up on a map. You see how he's blocking the spawn? He's just waiting. That way, he can block the spawns. His teammates are going to spawn on him, and then the other guys are going to spawn out. And then you can see as soon as his teammates spawn up, they get aggressive here towards the point. It was really good plays from Hixey. Just a good individual play. Got around the backside and was able to get some good time here. So really good plays from him. Then, of course, the first association, pretty back and forth. They were pretty much trading hills. Ultra was able to bring it back going into this P5. And then we also got a Minnesota listening. So let's tune in. We'll see how the Minnesota Rocker boys and how they sound. We'll see how they sound. Hold on. Let's tune in.
So let's see if Rocker can take control of the middle of the map with a quick listen in.
I got front door. He's going to go top. Might go top new.
I'm staying out, okay?
Yeah, top. Charlie's top of
him. I'm playing left.
Stay out.
Charlie's one shot on P3. Charlie's one shot on P3 and one's in ult.
You saw me in 1v2.
Yeah, we can play P3.
We do that. Yeah, Charlie's up top.
That was him P2.
I'm just vibing.
I'm
with you,
top.
I'll see Scout. Is Charlie up top, boys, or he's on time?
He's not top, he's in pocket.
Okay.
It's time.
One guy blue. Yeah, on time.
Is time anyone?
In hot.
P2
and blue.
I'm dead. Last guy, mid.
Last guy. I'm watching top.
Someone get time, sir. I got time.
Trust me, it's broken.
I need to grab. You'll get mid, boys, if you can.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Top dome, Jamie. Pretty weak.
He's top dead.
Nice, top dome.
Top blue, Charlie mid.
Thanks, Jamie. One shot.
Finesse.
Right stone, dude. I'm coming, bro.
Taking a right round.
Nice. One top dome.
L on you, weak.
Top dome, Jamie.
Taking a right round.
I still have a streak, boys. I'm going to use it here, okay?
Top dome, still hurt. I'm on top.
Low dome again. Right side hut.
Damn, can you shriek? Listen, can you shriek? I'm low.
Right side hut, you said. Hold on, I'm going to try and play the island.
I'm literally hiding low.
Yeah, I'm shrieking. I'm shrieking now.
I'm 1v5.
Yo, listen. Two pushed out P1, one on time, one's in blue. No one in the back. They're running back to time. I don't know if you guys just spam equipment on time.
I need one time.
Okay, yeah. Now they got a trophy. Yo, two on time, one was pushed out P1 still.
One was
blue.
I'm blocking any kills they spawn out.
Nothing else.
One's mid pull up and one's my god rock.
Get back on me.
Might be top dome.
Yeah, back time and then we'll go god rock on you.
Go on the back.
Nice.
On time.
I'll see him.
Alright, listening sounds pretty good. I mean, guys, talk to me here. Is Minnesota peaking at the right time here? Their comms sound pretty good. Their last few matches, their teamwork has been really on point. I mean, do you think nothing's going to change at the event? Or do you think maybe they have some momentum here? I mean, Pat, what do you think? You think Minnesota might have caught some momentum here or what?
I mean, I think it's kind of a do-or-die mentality for them at this point, Tom. But, I mean, look, I know some people weren't a big fan of this change originally, right? Afro being the one to come out of this starting lineup. But, yeah. I mean, I've been telling you guys since they made this change that I didn't think Afro was as good as y'all did. Obviously, he passes the individual eye test, but on a team level, the way they play, I mean, I like this move personally. I think Dill is an animal. I think Chris, you were mentioning that like Fame should have been running the sub this entire time.
Yeah.
So
been running a sub this entire time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, I think it was just Rocker failed originally, and for some reason stuck at it for so long that they're finally just making up for their mistakes. I mean, I don't know if they're peaking. I just think this is what this team could have been if they would have made the right moves from the get-go.
I mean, Chris, you agree with that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do agree. But I also think that Ben's play style with the sub is, like, he's super ratty. He's always taking routes and stuff like that. So if you have a player like Fame who plays traditionally a little bit more around the objective, he's probably going to be with his AR players a little bit more than Bance, who's kind of always, like, trying to make the forward play on the map where he's just trying to get ahead of the other team. And yeah. If you have like a player like that on your team, like you need someone else to supplement that like baity role where they're just kind of like flying out and, playing around that objective. Otherwise, you lack pressure. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Afro again was like one of those like roaming slayers. And I feel like Fame and Bance just have a little bit more chemistry in that aspect. And yeah, I think Attach also, obviously, he's been playing really good, but Cammy's also stepped it up a lot. Cammy before, he wasn't playing too good up until their recent roster change with Fame, and then now he's kept up that momentum with Attach. So, I mean, they're just all clicking, I think, at the right time when they need to the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think they slowed down the roster too, no, Chris? Like, I think slowing the team down in general would help Cammy.
Yeah, I mean, their comms are just really good. Like, they just all, it seems like they're all on the same page, and they're, like, actually coordinating things. Like, even though, like, it didn't work out perfectly, like, the where Ben was and then, like, Cammy calling in that streak and how they executed it and the comms, like, it was perfect.
I believe the teamwork was their biggest complaint when they got rid of Afro. I think that was like the main thing. They just felt like they weren't meshing together. They weren't like seeing eye to eye type of thing. You know what I mean? This map honestly got pretty close. I thought Minnesota with this P4 rotation was gonna be able to lock this time down and run away with this one because they were doing a pretty good job staying ahead of the game. But Ultra got a smooth break on this one. We could kind of see how it plays out. I mean, is there anything here that you think Minnesota could have done differently? Because Cammy's coming from old. He's finds one. Just, I feel like this guy Dome just doesn't have a lot of help. You know what I mean? I think it really just comes from a guy dying and, you know, spawning out at Old Hill, you know? Once that guy spawns down the back, they're kind of forced out. Chris, do you think it's better to maybe just play a little bit tighter there instead of being pushed out Dome on that rotation? Or do you think it was a good play for the Minnesota Rocker to stay pushed out there?
Definitely play tighter, but there's like a thing that there's so many people try to like force this whole like map control thing where they want to be pushed out and spread out and covering all lanes and they spread themselves too thin. What you want to do most of the time is you want to play tight, but if you do opt to spread the map a little bit, those players that are on the outskirts almost kind of want to play off the contact of the main body of the team. So let's say that guy's Dome, right? Instead of actually actively looking at Dome, playing for Dome, hide, play some cringe ass spot, hide in the water, do something. As soon as they get to Dome and like his teammates are like, yo, they're Dome, like they're, because obviously their people are on the hill are living and they got the headies, play off their contact, make a play. But people just do it backwards.
Yeah, I also think maybe there might have been an overchow here for Vance. I don't know. He died on hill. I felt like maybe he could have stayed down on hill there, like behind the rock or something, and played off of Dylan, you know, like played off of Dylan's contact there in the back. Mm-hmm. But he, as soon as he dies, then Dylan is just completely screwed. Like, Dylan is just all the way in the back. Attach can't do anything. He goes down. It was a really good break from Toronto Ultra. I like how they used their numbers and worked their trades through Dome and just kind of went around. They were able to win some big fights. So, Minnesota, I thought they were going to run away with it. But Toronto Ultra, they get a really big break here at the end. And then as we go into the P5, I mean, it's Hixie again who makes the play. It's a couple solo plays, one from Hixie and one from Kleenex. You can see Hixie, he's taking that long route again. He's like that long route player for these guys, you know? This is what he does best for them. He does like the fundamentals. He does the little things. He goes all the way around the right side, takes the outskirts of the map, goes for a swim. And Fame, he gets caught out in the back again. First in the P2 in the first rotation or the P3, and now again here going into the P5. And you can see right after that happens, Toronto just collapses onto this point. And they were able to break on in, I believe, and get some time here. But it was Kleenex who finds one, jumps the corner, finds another one, kind of just disrupts the setup for Minnesota Rocker. And that's where Toronto Ultra were able to just kind of put this hill on a hold, get some time here. And then I believe at the last second, this is when Minnesota, they start spawning out. This is when things get scary, right? This P1, P2 rotation, especially when we're going into a third set. Everybody's taking routes. Everybody's going around. But Minnesota, they get the kills. I actually thought they made a big mistake right here, and I'll kind of show you where. Right here, boom, that two-piece. I think when they get this wipe here, the biggest kill right now is just Insight pinching P2. Then they kill him. That's three dead. They know the last guy is top plat. There is no reason to double chow this guy. Cammy wide swings. He goes down. Dylan tries to climb up. He goes down. They get two-pieced, and then Toronto Ultra was able to try and make this a run. You know what I mean? I feel like Minnesota's got to close it out there. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but after three dead right there, I don't think they should overchow this guy Platt. I think they should just try and let him make a play.
They could have probably taken their time more by working him instead of just jumping into his direct line of sight, because Scrappy isn't going to miss those. But I get their whole reasoning, I guess, for it was, okay, let's double team the guy, kill him, and then we create a layer of space that is basically going to make it so Minnesota's fucked. But or not Minnesota, sorry, Ultra's fucked, but they just gave him opportunity. They ran directly into his sights. I don't think the play was bad, just executed poorly. Like, just jumping in front of him.
I don't know, were they calming Ben? Because Scrappy was spraying up there. Maybe they didn't see him. I
gotta agree with Chris. I think the bigger mistake would be back it up too in that situation. So go back up to when he gets the two-piece. Let's look at the time in the game and how much time is left in this hill. So it's 2:31 to 2:15. They get these two pieces. They get another kill. It's a three dead. Toronto can win off this hill and win by like a decent amount, 10 seconds. But look what they do. Scrap and Inside, the two players left, they both hold L triggers. Number two, Hixie, the sub, has actually got a swim. kills a lot of time. Hill is white, but he's not actually hitting the hill. He's going all the way around. And what was a winnable situation for Toronto, if they actually tried to stack this hill and win off a P1 or get close enough, they don't actually do, and they burn their opportunity to actually win on this hill by trying to play for P2.
No, I see what you're saying. It is hard, though, to win off a P1 like this. Oh, it's, so even it's even hard, if they got in there, it would have been probably hard. They probably were too scared to push. They might have been scared to push. It was a good, it's a good point, though, Ben. Like, if you do the math.
I don't think you can hit the hill white for like 15 seconds like they did. I think you got to try and get some of that time. And, yeah, it's going to be difficult to stay behind that box and not get killed by the guy top dome. But trust your ARs, you know, or one of the ARs needs to calm. The other one needs to try and take out Cam. They kill the guy top gome and they get hill control.
Yeah.
They can push up and watch mid cut. You never know. You can win off a P1.
It's very risky. I think either or was like the play. Them winning would have been completely on like not luck, but Minnesota fucking up there, because again, like they just try to, they do one or the other. They either play for that time and pray it works, or, and then if they don't, they pretty much lose because Minnesota auto rotate, or they try to keep them off and see if they can bait them into overcommitting to that time and have Hixie go to the back and try to flip spawn. So,
yeah,
I mean, either or would have worked, just didn't pan out.
And I love the corner here going into this last P2. Look at the corner here from Bench, bro. He's such a gritty player. Like, he's really disciplined. Like, Vance is a really disciplined player. Like, he won't overchow very often, and he'll always play like a cringy corner or something. It's just, he's just annoying to play against, bro. He's a really annoying player. He ends up finding one in the back. And I liked how after somebody from the enemy team was shooting back there, he didn't, like, panic and jump out the door. He just held his spot. You can see the Minnesota Rocker able to get a really good rotation. Nice little ratty spot there from Benjamin.
Actually, a really good corn.
Yeah, it is. Nobody's at the last second. See, the reason why I like this play from Vance is because he knows that they're about to win in 9 seconds. Like, Toronto Ultra is not going to be checking corners. Like, they can't. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be going.
I honestly don't think anyone's ever played that corner, and no bullshit. Like, I feel like I've never seen somebody play that corner.
That's a good corner right there.
Usually, whenever people bust the doors open, if it's like too like tight of an angle, it like pushes you out of it, and like the door like kind of like stays open. So most people will see you when you do. But like, wow, that was actually that's actually such a nerdy corner.
Yeah, and we'll take a look at the final scoreboard. Hixie and Insight, you know, some Hixie had his moments with the routes he was taking to plays, but obviously negative in this one. Kleenex and Scrap doing what they can. But on the other side, pretty well-rounded from the Minnesota Rocker. Everybody pulling away. Everybody around, like, that 28, 3,000 damage mark. So just good teamwork overall. I mean, guys, any final thoughts on the map? One thought, Rocker looked good. I mean, Ben, any thoughts? Pat, anything?
No, I mean, you know, Toronto had opportunities to win, didn't take advantage of it. Map one happens. Rockers made this map kind of a decent bread and butter, so curious if we're gonna see it a lot. When we get to the major, or people are going to absolutely throw this one out of the pool for Rocker and play them on another map.
Yeah, Pat, any final thoughts? Chris, any final thoughts on map one? I thought it was a good map from Rocker.
Fame played really well back on the sub, but then he kind of has a string of a couple of stinkers, but you know, he regains in the series later.
Yeah, and then we get into the hotel search and destroy. This first round was interesting. You can kind of see how Minnesota breaks off. It starts with Dylan. He actually makes a play through middle, and he's sneaking up on Insight here. He's actually able to find a little first blood here. Cammy has front couches. Dylan's got back couches. Dylan pounces on, I think he gets Soundhorn last second. Insight almost kills him, but it was a good play from Dylan. Trades come in, but this is kind of where Minnesota, again, you know, Scrappy, he ends up playing a pretty good spot here. I mean, Ben, you really liked this spot when we were watching. I would have liked to see Scrap maybe just continue to hide, you know? He ended up shouldering this out and challenging it, but he does make a really good play. They didn't know he was here. He gets pushed up. Nobody's looking over him either, so it's a pretty ballsy play here from Scrap, but jumps the corner. He's able to find one, but he instantly gets traded out from the snipe from Cammy, and then it's a 1v2 situation, and Bance, because they waited kind of long, he really doesn't have any help, doesn't have any teammates left with him. He tries to get to the B-bomb site, and he doesn't make it in time. He tries to get over there, but he ends up falling flat for him. So good round for Toronto Ultra here on a defense. And check out this round from Kleenex, bro. This guy pops a dead silence. I mean, Pat, this is your guy right here. It's the issue with the tissue. He pops a dead silence, and look what he does here. He ends up going rogue with the scar. He's going to actually chow this mid-cut area of the map. He's going to jump the corner, finds one onto Bance, another one onto Fame, and just like that, jumps the corner, finds a third. I mean, he calls round in the first 15 seconds. That's great work coming out of Kleenex. Minnesota.
Speaking of someone hitting form, Tom, I think we need to talk about Kleenex because he's made a drastic improvement since that little fall off that everyone was talking about that he had after they won.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot better recently. Like more recently, he's been going absolutely crazy. He's been going nuts. Maybe hitting some rhythm, maybe getting back to his old bullshit, his form. I mean, we know what Kleenex can do, bro. Like, Kleenex, oh, it's the issue with the tissue. I thought it was the tissue with the issue. Well, I don't know what the fuck it is. It's something.
Tissue with an issue.
It's an issue, tissue, I don't fucking know.
I usually said the tissue is an issue.
The tissue is an issue, ladies and gentlemen, as the slayer says. But then we head into the next round. Minnesota, again, they do this a lot, man. Like, bro, personally, bro, Bantz is down low hall. Just get the bomb and plant the bomb. He's down low hall.
They did this the other time. They're not watching the flank, bro.
They're not watching it. Bro, all they need to do, somebody watch flank, right? Somebody get double desk and just look over the bomb planter, right? Somebody plant bomb, and Bantz could just keep that pushed out. All the guy needs to do double desk is just watch his top bed. Just watch top bed in, like, top balk area, and he'll get a free kill if they jump out and try and chow. Just get on that godheady. And then after that, the bomb goes down. You have Bantz who's pushed up in a good situation. He can late pinch. He can play a kill. I mean, he can do anything. I mean, once Bantz gets pushed up there, I think they should play a bomb here. I don't think they should be slow playing this and just dropping the bomb and spawn. You know what I mean? Because now Fame goes back for it. He ends up dying. It was just
dropping the bomb in that, like, alley, in that, like, main is so, like, pointless. Like, I see a lot of teams do it, but, like, just have the guy that plays, like, somebody is always playing that Godhead glitch. Just whoever's playing that Godhead glitch, just hold the bomb. It's like the same thing. It just makes it so you don't have to go back and fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was an interesting play. Again, just like Minnesota, it's like they do the hard part by, like, getting pushed up on a map and getting the map control, but it's like they don't want to do the next step. It's just plant the bomb. I think it will go a long way for them. I think they should try it out. And then we get into the next one. We got the two-run round. Scrap, he ends up doing a dumbass play here. I put Scrappy's a moron in my notes, so let's tune in and see what the hell he was doing. Oh, yeah, I remember this. So, right here, Scrappy pushes up bed. It's a 2v4 situation, right, in favor of Minnesota. Kleenex finds one. Scrappy finds another bedroom. They know he's bedroom. So, there's two guys left. Scrappy's in a 1v2. He just got to kill bedroom. Bro, they're going to hop the bomb here every day of the week. Why wouldn't they hop the bomb here? It's planted for double desk. Scrappy's not going to be able to see it from bed. I'm really surprised he took so long to chow this here. He was just kind of just wasting his time. He was just, I don't know, he was just slow playing. He was just L-triggering and shit.
Can you back up and see?
Look how it plays out. Scrap finds one bedroom. Kleenex finds one mid. They go down. They know he's bedroom. You know they're going to hop the bomb here. You know they are. Any team would probably hop the bomb here, no? Unless I'm tripping. Yeah, here. You guys agree with me?
I mean, the only thing I could think of is, like, the only crazy thing I think of is number 8 got a kill, like, went mid-alley, and maybe when number 4 died, they called out that he could have been couches, and that's why Scrap slow played it, but that would have been a miscom. That's the only thing I can think of as to why he played like that.
There's not really any other play, though. Like, that, they can't really go and hunt him because it's going to take too much time, and it's going to, like, it's going to have, like, an isolated 1v1. Like, their best bet is, like, okay, he's, like, top plat, play the kill, or play, have a guy hop bomb and like, pick the angles. Like,
yeah. And then the Ultra ended up having a good defense. It was a comfortable defense. They just held, and Minnesota Rocker run into them. This round, Toronto Ultra, they end up rushing mid and bullying the Minnesota Rocker. It starts with Insight. You see him in the middle of the map in Kleenex. They're the guys who kind of rush through mid. Kleenex rushes right through couches, right from double desk, and Insight helps them from double Ds, from double arch, and just like that. I mean, that round went by in the blink of an eye. Toronto Ultra just taking a risk and hitting out of mid-map. It was great plays out of them. Good plays from Kleenex, good plays from Insight. They'll go up 4-2. Then we get into the next round. It was a retake. Finally, Minnesota Rocker. They get the bomb down, but they don't know how to hold. I don't think they're in the situation enough. They didn't know how to hold the Insight. He ends up getting one. He kills the guy off the bomb. And then just like that, it's a 4v3 situation. You can kind of see how it ends up playing out. Bantz ends up getting caught out. He goes down at Toronto in a 4v2. They end up using their numbers here. Dylan gives up the pinch. He tries to try and push out one side. I saw what Dylan was trying to do, but Toronto Ultra, good job using their teamwork there. Not solo pushing, right? Like, not doing anything stupid. Like, just doing stuff together and working as a team. They were able to get the retake, so it was good plays out of them. They go up 5-2. 5-2 round. This was a round where Minnesota was able to win the defense and get one more round on the board. But after this, Toronto Ultra, they were able to close it out. They go back on a defense. They do a good job. It started with Takesy. He was holding this freezer area. He finds one. Hit Cammy just kind of ran in there. No fucks given. Takesy's able to get one. Scrap comes back from catwalk, and this was another quick round. Scrap finds two. Quick round for Toronto Ultra. They go up. They win the S&D 6-3. Take a look at the final scoreboard. 11-4 from Kleenex. Fantastic map from him. On the other side, Fame with a little bit of a rough one. Any thoughts on a map number two, guys? Any thoughts at all?
I think Minnesota is still struggling in search. They just overcomplicate every round, bro. Like, it's not that hard. It's so simple. They get control of the right stuff. They don't plant bombs. They don't check the appropriate corners. They're not bane switching. Like, they're just letting people do whatever they want, and it makes no sense.
Yep, agreed. And then we head into the El Asilo control, which honestly was a complete wipe. I don't think we need to spend too much time on this map because this map Ultra just completely smoke them. Scrappy shooting some bodies in this map. So hey, you think that's what it was? You think it was the body shots? It could have been the body shots.
I don't know, Tom. To me, it seems like they almost wanted to guarantee a map 5. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think. Listen,
they wanted to make sure it was close.
Yeah. They were match fixing. Whenever Scrappy shot Attach's body, that was Attach's cue, like, to start frying. Like, Scrappy said, all right, listen, it's your turn. Like, this is a part of the script that you're going to start frying. I'm going to take a step back.
It could be. This is where he lights him up. You see Dylan. And it's out of all people, he shoots Attach's body. What did Dylan do? I don't think Dylan did anything.
I just got back in the league.
He just got back in here. He hasn't even been here, Pat. But Dylan, he gets his body lit up, and Toronto Ultra, they end up winning the first defense. I know Minnesota did get that 8 point, but Toronto Ultra, they do a good job just holding AC, holding field, and they just drain Minnesota's lives down so much. Minnesota really couldn't do much. So we go into the next round. This is where Toronto Ultra, they get so many kills. They get the 8 point pretty easily. They end up at the last second, not easily, but the last second, you can see how they were able to do it. It was actually Insight who makes the play. He finds a couple kills and was able to get his team onto that 8 point here in the outskirts. Just really nice shots out of him. He finds one, and then with the team shots of Hixie, they find two to get that 8 point. And then, of course, getting this B point was just super gritty. They just do a lot of solo plays, like Scrappy, Kleenex. They were just able to constantly stay alive on this B point and just get kills. You can see Hixie, he got pushed up. He ends up turning around. They knew he was there. They were looking for him. But Scraps, he finds one. He's able to stop the clock. And then Kleenex, he wins another big fight. And then once that happens, Toronto Ultra do a good job just staying aggressive here. Kleenex keeps getting big Ws or big wins. And then after that, once they kind of pin Minnesota Rocker back, Ultra do a good job just keeping that pressure on them and not letting them breathe and not letting them get any map control. Toronto Ultra, they just keep flooding. They get the stacks. They get the kills while they're on the point. And Minnesota Rocker can't really do too much. They end up falling here on their defense, and then we go into the last and final round, which is where Toronto Ultra just outslay Minnesota Rocker pretty bad. They pin them back in their spawn. They outslay them pretty bad. They drain their lives quick, and Minnesota Rocker, they couldn't get anything going in the control. Maybe a little worry for Minnesota Rocker's control. You think maybe they got to work on control a little bit going into the major? What do you think?
No, Ben? Toronto is one of the best control teams in the game and has been all season. I wouldn't lose too much sleep over this map. That being said, as they just brought Dylan in, only a couple days of practice, don't be surprised if certain maps fluctuate in and out of the map pool. And I think for Rocker, just curious, like, where their hotel control is at, because if they actually are decent with Dylan, that might be a interesting curveball to start tossing at this major.
Yeah, I disagree. Ben, I think Rocker do need to focus on both control and S&D, regardless of how good Ultra are at this map. And commode combo.
I mean, I don't think that's anything close to what I just said, but I agree. You should focus on all the game modes so you can win.
Damn. All right.
Damn, bro. Pat and Ben got some beef, I think, bro. I think they got some beef going on. Quick little 3-0
victory.
No
way, Pat. You just bent over, bro, and let Ben step all over you.
No way.
I think Ben just changed his up. Ben literally said that Rockers shouldn't be worried about control, but I think they should be worried about control, especially considering
talking about
going Asilo, up against...
But I'll go, Ben. All good.
Bro, Pat.
You didn't
Pat,
specify.
Dude, Ben just good boyed Pat, bro. That's crazy.
It's the listening comprehension, that. Brother.
Listen, you didn't specify that. Not only that, Ben, that's a map that Breach liked to play as well. So, and that's who they have round one. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you checked the bracket yet, but
well,
that's
I know,
who they
I know,
play.
I know Boston liked to play play that map. I mean, that was a big pivot they made, you know, kind of out of when Fortress got out. The thing for Boston is they haven't played a lot of Expo, so... I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yo, if I bought boxing gloves to Toronto, would you guys like scrap? No bullshit.
That'd be good content for sure. If you guys scrap it up a little bit, Kleenex and tissue is.
I don't
want
to have to find a replacement for the show, guys. Come on.
Oh, that's not right.
Dude, Kalinas went crazy. 28-14. Guys got over 3,000 damage. I mean, he was the hard carry in this map. I mean, that guy was going absolutely nuts. Shout out to him. Any final thoughts here in the control? Probably not, so we'll just move on to the next
Slammed.
One. Slammed. Absolutely pissed on. Absolutely slammed. Then we get to the next one. It's a Fortress Hardpoint. To start things off, I actually really liked the way Minnesota played this P2 to P3 rotation. You could kind of see how they hold or how they break through this P2 here. You look at how they do this. So they end up getting kills front, but I just like the aggression. I like how they just, with 20 seconds left, like they make use of their kills. They end up storming right through to this P3, and they were able to work a nice flick. Because if you rewind it just a little bit, I mean, look at Toronto Ultra. They're coming from the front. They're able to break on in. They have good spawns. They have time. Minnesota did a good job working some kills here and playing from a flip or playing for a flip pretty early on here, because they were able to get some pretty good time here early on. You can see how they do it. Dylan finds two kills in the back, and then Bance, he catches somebody slipping. I think Kleenex got stuck in the door.
What the fuck
or something.
Is Toronto doing?
I don't know.
Nah, bro. Scrapley's chowing at the back, and I think Insight is like laying down behind the stage right next to him.
I don't know why they overchowed there. I don't know why.
What
the fuck? He's actually got the two freest kills of his life.
Yeah, and then they ended up flipping him out, and then Minnesota was able to get a massive hold here. They get a lot of time on the P3. And then it was actually the P4 where usually this is a pretty hard hill to break, but Minnesota do a really good job holding time on this P4 hill. And I think it's just because they win these initial fights, right? Coming off of old, like they win these initial fights P1, it kind of gives them like a second to breathe and get some map control. And you can kind of see how when you let it play out, they get set up. You know, they're playing tight. They have rails. Dylan does a good job. He was sitting on a little three spree. Actually, Dylan went crazy here. Dylan and Thatch was going nuts. Just holding rails and just finding a lot of kills. And then he keeps it going as well. He ends up getting the cruise missile. He ends up going on a seven spree. So good plays from Dylan. They get a big hold. And then we get into the P5 hill. I thought Scrappy went big here because Minnesota Rocker, they have the P2 spawns. They're blocking a P2 spawn. Any kill they get, they're flipping on P3. And in Minnesota, all they got to do is not get pieced, but Scrappy pieces both players in close. And I think that just once he gets both those kills, the P2 spawn opens up. And Toronto Ultra were able to work a flip. So just really big plays coming in from Scrappy here in the P5. And then going into the second P1, I wanted to highlight Cammy's play here. I thought he did a good job here just getting here early. You can see how he kind of gets pushed out here coming off of that old P5. I don't even know how Cammy ended up getting there. We should let it play out. Did he spawn there or did he end up just getting through somehow? Let's see if this works. Maybe the flips come in. Yeah, the flips come in. And everybody else, his whole team spawns out.
White Hill cheese right there, bro.
Yeah, that was definitely some cheese for sure. It's definitely a little bit of cheese. But Cammy, he does a really good job just playing his life back here, man. He plays his life. He's able to find one. And then he absolutely smokes Scrap. Have a good day. Peace out. Take it easy. And then boom, three dead. They flip the spawns. Minnesota Rocker now. Just a good rotation. I thought that play from Cammy just to stay alive, get some kills there. He went massive to flip those spawns. And then Scrappy, second P2, he goes absolutely insane. I mean, this is what Scrappy does, right? He finds these moments, right? Minnesota's got two dead. I'm thinking this is the break here. Scrappy just absolutely smokes somebody on the back heady and then finds a couple more kills after that. He gets three kills in a row to hold on to some of his time. I mean, these are big kills because he's getting all this scrap while they also have a P3 rotation. So that was a really big three-piece right there. And then he changes up his corners a little bit, and he gets another couple kills there. So Scrappy doing some good work there for that scrap time. We head into an ultra listening. Let's tune in and see how Toronto sound.
Sweet. In the bush, though. I need it. I'll bring it off. Wait a second. Three, are you getting me through? I need your time.
Yep.
On time. Same on back pull.
Back pull on me?
Time on back pull.
Yeah, I'm trying.
One shot low green. I have a streak. We should push.
Okay. Shot. What's happening for now, Pillars?
Pillars. I'll stop shooting him. Pillars dead. Try streak?
Low green.
Yeah, you can. You might as well. Fuck it.
Count out front, Charlie. Count out front.
Not me.
Green me, I think. Back. Top green now. In the box as well.
Yeah, one's top green and one's hanging up front now.
Make sure we get near.
Count out front there. Top green.
Front.
Low green in time.
I don't see green anywhere. It's Ben.
Front green. He went back into low green, one on old.
Trap
him hard, we're good.
I'm gonna get P1 for sure right now.
Low green, dead.
I'm staying green.
Big arch is weak.
Pushed out.
I have low green, they could be top.
Stable, so
already.
Right now.
Yeah, two P5.
Whoever's green.
I got time. He's pushed out from green, boys.
Okay. That could be P1. Someone could P1, maybe
yeah,
I
could be. Could be P1, yeah.
I'll try to hold it. What's open now?
Done. P2.
Hey, it's open, it wants to be closed.
Open dead.
That streak was terrible.
Mama rails.
From green, the other guy's from green.
Close.
Single dead. Yeah. Last guy I'm getting touched now.
Might be the hop.
AP2, alright.
Hey, we're gonna hop.
Dead one.
Low plus. Yeah, I single. One stun, P2.
I'm
on your back door.
Could be tagged though, could be back
door. I'm on your back door.
I have all top.
Hop.
AP1.
Dead.
I was open up, on the stage.
I don't want you to attach. I'll see on the back pick. I'll see on the back truck, last guy. All the way in the back truck, like the deep truck.
Left side, a bit, I think.
Might be two. I'll spawn that ring, boys. Give me stage as well. Give me stage as well.
I'm single right now. Could be double those of you.
In the trap. P2, P2, door. Ivy across.
I did the
top. Top step. Top weak. On time.
I'm doing this time, second.
Nice.
I'm
wrapping up. I'll get a trap here.
One shot doing.
I'm streaking play now.
Yeah, we should be able to. They might spawn and do okay.
Oh, yeah, they are.
100%. P2
stage.
Oh, I spawned behind
them. Stables here.
Alright, that's gonna do it for the listening for the Toronto Ultra. I thought that streak was a waste. I thought it was a waste of a streak. I thought maybe they could have held on to it, maybe used it somewhere else, but that they, I don't know, their mentality was to just use it. Fuck it. Just fuck it then, like Draza says. I thought the listening was all right, too. They sounded kind of low energy initially. They started to pick up as it went on, but they kind of sounded like a little, I don't know, Slay. You might be right, Pat. You might be right. They throwing
this
shit.
I usually am, Tom. I usually am. Listen, I told you, they need to make sure it goes map 5 to make, you know, the not be as suspicious, so.
And then it gets scary here towards the end. We go into a third P1. And it's Minnesota who end up getting the, or it's Toronto who end up making a play and flipping the spawns. But Fame somehow was able to get through here. You can see he ends up spawning towards P2. I definitely think right there, Kleenex needs to be careful. You know, he needs to try and pick up the pinch, which he does. He ends up checking rails, but I just think Fame makes a good play here, honestly. He just plays his life. He was able to find one. Then he turns the corner, finds another one onto Insight, tags the last guy on the hill in Minnesota. They were able to get onto this hill and flip these spawns. Just good plays from Fame. Him making that play right there and just kind of staying alive, playing slow and playing a corner and getting a kill there and got a couple kills. They were able to flip the spawns. And now right here, man, why are they not watching Gate, bro? What is going on? We saw this with Boston. We saw this with them. They get the clean wipe. This should be done.
Yo, we need 6 seconds to win. Let's watch the farthest cut from the hill.
Yeah,
fuck
I don't
it.
Understand that. I don't get that. This happened yesterday with
He's
Boston.
Proving P5, bro. What?
That's a clean wipe. You know they're spawning dome. Even number 6, like, bro, all of them. Bance tries to get there as quick as possible, but Cammy should be watching Gate right
Wait, number
there.
7.
Players.
Number 7
number
knew
7.
It was coming, bro. Dylan literally at me. Look how Dylan Chow's. Look at this.
Yeah, he knew it was coming for sure.
he knew that.
I think Cammy blacked out. He might have blacked out, bro.
Cammy was fried, bro. Cammy was baked.
He might have blacked out here, but they do end up rotating to the P2 and closing it out. So it got scary, but they do close it out because they held on to the P2 spawns. So good place in the Minnesota Rocker. They were able to push a map number 5. We'll take a look at the final scoreboard. 38-33 from Scrap, but it wasn't enough on the other side. 36-28 from Bance and 36-25 from Attach with 4,100 damage. Dylan had a hell of a map, this map. Really good plays from Dylan. Any final thoughts here on the map 4,
He says he couldn't shoot straight the other match. Well, he must have got a really good warm-up in and shot some bots because he was fucking pissing.
Yeah, he was going fucking nuts, bro. He's fucking
pissing. Yes, what? His last match, he says, I couldn't shoot straight.
Yeah, he did say that. He did say that.
He was always shooting straight, bro.
Nah, he said he was getting fried. He said, you know, listen,
he's
Dylan was in chat. Yeah, Dylan was getting turned on in his first series, no bullshit.
Nah,
he's humble.
That's
he's humble.
Right.
He's
That's
humble.
Right.
And he's then, humble. Then we get it to the LSC low SD. This first round was a little bit weird because I don't think anybody communicated to Dylan that the bomb was planted safe and not planted for him. Because look, Dylan's playing for like a post plan, like shoot him up bomb. Look. The bomb is planted on the backside. He can't even see it from here. I think maybe a communication problem there. I thought that was a little weird.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I thought that it had to be somebody whoever planted the bomb, or I don't know what the comms were like. And then we get into the next round. Thought Minnesota here. They were able to work some pretty good trades here on the site. It was Toronto that tried and get onto this 8 point. But once Cammy gets that picked, I just like the swarm from Minnesota. They're not afraid to make a play. Fame hits your side door. They're pinching on in. They all swarm the point, and just like that, their trades, their teamwork does them wonders. Minnesota are able to tie it up at 1. Then we get next into the next round. I thought Insight had a really good round here. Jetsu Kleenex, who finds the first blood onto Dylan with that grenade. After that, it was Benjamin Bance, who evens the playing field. A couple kills go down, and it's Scrap and Insight in a 2v3 situation. Let's just watch Insight and see how he's able to do this. First, he starts by killing Cammy all the way by back white. So that's definitely, you definitely got to get that guy out of white. I wasn't really a fan of the setup here. For the Minnesota Rocker, I didn't think Bantz was in the best spot. I thought maybe even just playing like on the same side where Fame was, just getting tucked a little bit. Because, you know, inside and scrapper AR players, like, you probably want them to push you there instead of just getting picked. You shouldn't be seen there. They shouldn't be able to wide challenge see you.
Yeah.
I thought they could have maybe set up a little bit better there. Would you guys agree with that or no? I thought maybe that was a little bit of a troll.
Also, something that I want to note, people were saying, the casters hurt him to his left. Why didn't he react? Well, on his screen, whenever you're right, when one shot, your like heart starts throbbing in game and you can't fucking hear shit. All you hear is boom, 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 boom. So like he can't even hear the guy next to him. You can't hear his footsteps at all. Bame literally didn't hear him at all. And on top of that, he probably didn't realize the door was open.
I think he heard him, bro.
No, he didn't hear him to his left. Like, bro.
Nah, because I think last second, so he was stunned and he was one shot. I think last second, like right here, he heard him. And then he was like, fuck, I'm one shot. Like, I think he was just like trying to like, I think he was like, just trying
Chris,
to stay
I was bringing this up on the watch party. Like, I was also confused because I thought it was pretty clear that he moved around. And I guess maybe Fame just was helping him went to the corner.
I don't know. I don't know if he heard him. I have no idea.
When you're one shot, especially like that close, like that immediate, like you all you hear is your heart beating and then like the echo of the shots. Like it's you can't hear shit. And then it was just too late. Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. I had no idea.
You're talking about the character's heartbeating, right? Not your own. Yeah, okay. I'm just making sure.
Bro,
I'm just making sure.
I play the game all day. Trust me, bro.
When I'm one shot,
my EQ don't even work, bro. You can't hear anything.
No, wait, you have EQ on?
Yeah, I play ranked all day. I'm playing against cheaters.
That's crazy.
Wait. I was watching the Optic Team podcast. They were talking about there's some like other sound EQ settings that like Prolude taught them about.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're using those too, Chris.
I don't know what the fuck
settings. There's more.
I don't know. They talked about in the podcast that there's some like additional thing you change in there to like.
You can do a lot of stuff. Like some people will mistake sound EQ with like other EQ. So like you can download third party software that allows you to configure like the levels of certain like frequencies of sound and stuff like that to customize your audio. Yeah, you can do a ton of shit.
That was a good play from Attach there. Able to get the bomb down, closes the door, and then jumps the corner and just smoking Hicksy. Boom. Minnesota Rocker. They're able to get the offense. End up going up 3-2 here. And then Minnesota, they end up working some kills here. Or not Minnesota, Toronto. They end up working some kills here. Top catwalk. I thought if Cammy was looking at this, he would have got the kill. But you can see he gives it up, and Kleenex, he was able to kill him. But Kleenex didn't see him initially. Cammy tries to snap on him, but good shots from Kleenex with that Vaznev. They end up getting a couple kills here. Quick 4v2. Toronto, what a quick round. They just rushed courtyard, rushed radio, and they were able to get the round there. So we're all tied up at 3. Then this round, it was actually Minnesota that get into this bomb site. They were able to get the bomb down, but Toronto Ultra, they get a pretty good retake here. I feel like teams are pretty comfortable retaking this A site now. Scrappy didn't check this corner to the left. Fame, he was able to get a big kill, but the trade comes in. Insight onto Attach, and now Kleenex, he's going to make his move top catwalk and just swarm on in. It was a good retake from Toronto Ultra. A 3v2 situation. Insight finds another kill courtyard onto Ben. Takes, he finds Fame. I mean, they just break down the Minnesota
setup. Sure, it was
setup.
A good retake, but like, wait, what setup, Tom? Cammy Louis full sprint, a guy died. And then Fame is literally on the A control point. Looking like a lost puppy, just no idea what's going on. Like,
my bad,
what
Fame.
Setup?
My bad.
They'd have a setup.
Dylan was watching Pinch, but he ends up getting flanked from
radio.
Okay,
that's fine. But then look at Cammy, bro.
And then, I don't know where Cammy would go.
Hide in a corner. Buy some time. Play off Bantz, dude.
Moving too much for sure.
What setup?
Maybe he's trying to get to Bantz or something. Courtyard. Maybe he's trying to get to him and maybe play
Who
off
knows,
him.
Bro.
But
who knows, bro?
It's a good retake from Toronto Ultra. They end up going up 4-3. And then this round was all Benjamin Bantz, bro. Look at the spot here from Ben. And we were talking about his ratty spots in the first map, and he brings it back here to map 5. I mean, we'll see the initial kill. I think somebody tries to make a play on him. Cammy finds the first blood on the pinch. Once again, good plays from Cammy. And then Bantz, he finds a big kill here onto Hicksy here, Kegs. And then he has the crossfire here. I mean, he just lays down there the whole time. They try and kill him. They're trying to... Toronto Ultra was
That's
waiting
good trust
for him
to your
peak.
Teammates right there.
Yeah, they were waiting. They were just waiting for him to peek for like 10 seconds, and Bantz just knew that his teammate was looking over him and that there's no point in moving there. So it was just a really good plays from Bantz. He ends up getting 3 on the round. They end up tying it up at 4. This round, Minnesota, they actually get through here. Cammy's able to find one, but Benjamin Bantz goes for the quick pinch with the dead silence, and he's able to find a gap in the setup. And he's able to find one, and he also gets the shoulder of insight there as he tries to get away, and he finds him as well. So Bantz just making absolute plays. Bantz had a really good series today. Just thought he was super impactful, just putting himself in good spots. Just really good round for Minnesota. And then, of course, we go to the last and final round, and this is where Minnesota was able to get a retake in a 3-v-4. We kind of see how it all unfolds. Toronto, they get one pick, but Dylan Attach is able to get a blood cami. He levels the playing field. Just looks like an absolute swarm, a trade fest on this A-bomb site. And, of course, Minnesota Rocker were able to win the trades. And just the way the bomb was planted, Kleenex, he couldn't really see it. I thought it was a good heads-up play from Bantz to realize where Kleenex was and where he was positioned and just to stretch the bomb. He stretches the bomb to fuse. He has to come out. Dylan Attach gets the gunfight win. And you can see Minnesota Rocker. They're all hyped up. They take down Toronto Ultra 3-2. We'll take a look at the final scoreboard. 11-6 from Benjamin Bantz. What a map 5 from him. You got to think maybe Scrappy shooting some bodies. They threw the series away. They threw it away. Got to give Minnesota Rocker their props.
Scrappy throwing up an absolute 2-9 stinker to end the series, bro.
That's
he definitely just threw them like the freebie, bro.
Yeah, any final thoughts on the series? Pat, any final thoughts on Minnesota?
They look better, Tom. They look better. But like I said, I still want an investigation on somebody's desk at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning to rule out any foul play.
Yeah, but, yeah, something's going on here.
But otherwise, I do think Rocker looked better, and I think that's good going into the end of the year because, like I said, Tom, we were at a 4-team league. You know, maybe some teams can make a case for us being at a 5 or 6-team league.
By the way, did you guys hear about the fucking maps that they're adding in? They're adding in competitive maps when the season is over, or when the season.
It's impressive. It's impressive.
Isn't that fucking crazy? Isn't that nuts? That makes absolutely no sense.
Well,
to me.
At least I won't be bored playing ranked. They add those.
Yeah, but that's just like what? What if the maps are like godlike? I'm gonna lose composers. Like, we just had these the whole time. Got trolled. You know what I mean? And
do they know the season schedule? Do they know that the the whole year is over?
How much papaya they fucking smoking over here?
We might have to host some off-season tournaments on the new maps.
Actually, now that I think about it, it actually makes sense, right? Because this was gonna be a 2-year cycle game, right? That was the original plan, was that it was gonna be 2 years of this. So they were probably thinking they were getting these ready for the new season until the game did bad and they had to throw in the new title. So
yeah, maybe. I'm not really too sure what was going on with that. But yeah, any final thoughts? Ben or Chris, you guys got any final thoughts?
Absolutely not, bro.
I'm a little concerned about Toronto's ability to close out some game fives recently. We're talking about this on the watch party. Going back to like last one that split before, Toronto's game five record's kind of trash. They've lost like 5 or 6 game fives since then. I know that a couple of those tough game five losses at the beginning of last split, but something to monitor with Toronto as we get towards the end of the season, we get towards Champs, a lot of game fives are going to be likely. Can this team close out in a game five? Right now, it looks like they're struggling to do so.
Aren't their land game fives better than their online game fives? Like, by a lot?
Probably, but, like, either way, just in general, I'm just working with the data we have and the recent game fives they played. I don't care, online land, like, their record's not that good.
Yeah, and then, listen, I don't want to even talk about this series. I think we could just... this was a quick 3-0. We had LA Thieves go up against the London Royal Ravens. I really do feel like London are just going through the motions now. They completely chalked their year. I don't even know if they're trying. I'm sure they're trying a little bit, but like, let's be honest, man, it's chalk for these guys. It's chalk.
Do we want to talk about the series? Like, are we?
Let's talk about the team.
We could talk about I still want to talk about the teams and the vetoes and go over this. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on the Vitos and just the teams as a whole. I mean, what do you guys think is going on with LA Thieves? Obviously, today they get the 3-0 victory. Honestly, the maps weren't too bad. First map, I actually thought London could have had a chance here in the first map. There is one play that I do want to go over in the first map. But anything on the Vitos, guys? Mercado Hardpoint, Mercado Search, Hotel Control, NBC Hardpoint, LSC Low S&D. Anything on the Vitos or no?
Thieves don't really play a lot of Mercado Search, so they definitely are trying to expand the pool. I think London are kind of can be decent in Mercado Hardpoint. So looking at the split, I think Thieves were trying to give themselves a slight challenge or try some maps they wanted some work on. And London looked okay in the first two maps, and then they crumbled. But to your point, I think for London, they have one series left as a team, and then I think they're parting ways after that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the London roster. This was the play that I just wanted to go over real quick. There's a clean dead Yuli needs to go barber here. He needs to get the barber. You can see number one, right? He's kind of mid-map. And he ends up just kind of just taking his good old time. He doesn't get there in time. Like, if you rewind it back, right, and just look how it plays out. Scraps gets three. As soon as he gets that three-piece, Yuli's got to go. Instantly. He should instantly go. I'll let it play out, and you'll kind of see how he plays it. But he just kind of, like, hovers around. He ends up going back. Like, he starts running towards the hill. And then he just starts, you know, looking mid-map, and he should be barber. He should be in a corner barber already. He should be there. I thought maybe London could have had a chance here if Yuli made the rotational play. With three dead, last guy dark, there's two guys at old. Bro, get to your teammate. Get to your teammate. Get the Scraps. Help Scraps out, because Scraps is there early. He needs help. You guys agree with me on that one or not? Because I was watching that back.
I disagree with you, Tom.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Wait, Pat, did you say you disagree with me?
No, I said I don't disagree with you, Tom.
Okay. I thought you said you disagree. I was going to say why. But yeah, interesting plays coming out from Yuli there. And then they end up losing this map because LA Thieves just get to the hill and Yuli can't really get in here. He keeps getting a kill, but he keeps getting tagged up one shot and he ends up, he tries to get in here, but he dies. Go ahead, Pat. Look,
as sad as this was, honestly, the whole year for the Ravens, they did manage to accomplish something, Tom. And I want to give a shout out where a shout out is due. Mm-hmm. They actually matched LAG Gorillas with the worst qualifier performance in COD League history, going 0-5 with a 2-15 map count. So at least, you know, as bad as it was, there's something to be proud of, right? You got a record. So shout out to those guys for having
some kind of record.
Tied the worst ever of all time.
That's not right, bro. That's just not right, Slay. You know what I mean? You didn't have to say it, but I mean, you had to say it. Let's hop into the next series. I mean, we could talk about the LA Thieves a little bit. Anything to talk about with LA Thieves? I mean, listen, they went 1-4 in the stage, but they did take down London today. They are starting in the loser's bracket. We're going to take a look at the bracket so we could talk about it at the end. But is there anything you guys want to bring up about
LA Thieves?
The
biggest issue this split was just their respawns were not as good as the last. Obviously, the control, whatever, it's not doing too well. But in terms of their hard points, these guys can't hold the setup. Every time they rotate to a hill, these guys are known for their discipline, communication. Somebody's doing something stupid, over-challenging, or they're just getting absolutely gunned. So outside of that, their search and destroy is still pretty all right. I think Drauzza's still continuing that S&D form. That he's had this pretty much entire season where he looks really good in that game mode. And they just got to stop overcomplicating it. At the very least, season's over. At least the normal season's over, regular season. They're going into two lands, and they don't really have, you know, the weight of playing that sound EQ cod cheese at home.
I don't know about you guys, but I need to see more out of Kenny. I know, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting,
Chris. He's only good on land?
He's only done good on land. He's a land player.
I would say the AR players have also struggled at times during this play.
Talking about Kenny in general.
I always talk about Kenny in general, but I don't think to like pin. I'm just saying in general, I think Thieves players have kind of, some of them have had on and off stages. In this stage, I think their ARs have really like struggled either in terms of kill impact or just like making mistakes on the map. So we'll see. I mean, this team, you just never know, bro. There's a lot of veteran experience. They go to land. Sometimes they get hot and it clicks. But now I'm not really I'm expecting them to make it maybe to like Saturday morning, but I don't know about making it deep in this tournament right now. So the problems that Chris highlighted earlier.
They're going to have to make the loser's bracket run. Even Drauzza was talking about it. I mean, Drauzza was saying in the interview that there's just really no pressure. He was like, there's no pressure. We're just kind of going into it, starting from losers, kind of just going with the fuck it then mentality. You know what I mean? Just
better be some damn pressure. Nashot's got the private jet gassed up, ready to go to Shanghai, Tom.
Yeah, he tweeted at the Chinese book. He's trying to learn
Chinese.
At
the very least, their communication's still always good. So, I mean, like, they're always aware and they're always, like, trying. The effort's there. They just need to execute a little bit better, which I think now that, like I said, the regular season's over, that whole like online LAN type of mental block that these guys obviously have, because they've literally said it before and we've seen them do it on both. Maybe that just goes out the window and they can kind of start playing with a little bit less stress of having to play online matches.
Yeah, and then Yeehaw!
And of course, before we get into the bracket, we are going to go over the final series of the day. We'll go over it real quick. There's just a few things I want to talk about. We had the New York Subliners going up against the Boston Breach. We got a Hydro Hardpoint, El Silo S&D, Hotel Control, Hotel Hardpoint, Hotel Search and Destroy. I mean, any thoughts on Avito's New York playing with the Wardy today? Playing with a sub, Skies is on the bench. I don't know if they promised him just a game or a match. I'm not really too sure what was going on. But Wardy comes in today.
Let me ask a question to you guys. Does it not feel like they're like trying to advertise this guy to other CDL franchises? Like, is that not what this move felt like to you?
Trying to make
like, they're saying we're never gonna put Wardy in. We already make champs. We don't care whether we win or lose this series, which, by the way, ruins competitive integrity for the league. And then they're just like, let's just go ahead and advertise one of our players that we're paying to see if maybe, you know, another org will have interest in the next year.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it is.
Then what is it? What's the sense of putting him in?
I wouldn't be surprised if maybe, you know, they had a little wink-wink that Wardy was going to get a run-in at some point with this team. They just want to give him a match.
Wink, a wink, wink to who?
Bro, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that deep, bro. I think these guys are all
wink, wink to who?
These guys are all
wink, wink.
I don't think it's that deep.
Who they wink, wink at, Ribbon?
These guys are all really close. I think Wardy's actually good friends with pretty much the majority of his team. They always call him the priest that calls him the vibe man. Like they just like his vibe.
They do love
him. It's the last fucking event of the season. And they're probably just like, yo, L, get the fuck in here, bro. Let's see what you can do as like just for fun, bro. I don't think it's that serious.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, but now it's giving Boston free points in a league where like these guys aren't safe.
Well, they're getting less practice. They're getting less rest before Toronto.
You can always learn something, bro. I'm tired of this. I know you're trying to do it for the banner, but it's like to teams like Seattle and Vegas, bro. Like you still had opportunities to get points earlier on the season, and
that
you didn't.
Matter.
You went to land your troll.
Matter.
Like, why are we crybaby
cheesing about
this?
That's irrelevant. This team got free points. Did they not? Yes
Wait,
or no? They got free
the
points.
Banter, bro. This
how
is
still
had to win.
How is this free points? The series is like not,
bro,
not
this
like
is a
fucking
troll
blowout.
Series. NYSL's clinch champs, and they're basically like,
bro,
we don't really care if we win or lose.
That
doesn't matter. They're basically going into it with the mentality of, we don't really give a fuck if we win or lose. We're going to put in a player that's never going to play for our team. We all know that Skies is still going to play in a week and a half. It's still cheesy. What do you mean? Giving free points to any team is still cheesy. Regardless, if you're the best team or the worst team in the league,
well,
seeing another team get free points is kind
of
fugazi.
Of course it is, but it's not like they did anything against the rules, bro. They just brought in the sub. Like,
yeah, I agree with Chris. Like,
that's cheesy.
I'm hearing it might be cheesy, but at the end of the day, bro, they're doing whatever they want.
Let me just give my thoughts.
Bro, they still definitely had a chance in this series. It wasn't
blowout. It's not like they were intentionally throwing, bro. They were still trying to win.
Every time you play a series or play an actual match that matters, you can always go back and go back and fix mistakes that you made. Like, you always learn from it. You always can go back and learn from that. And I just felt like this series was kind of a waste. Like, I felt like they should have played with their actual team. Like, we have a major tournament in Toronto. It's the last major before champs coming up in 4 days. Why wouldn't you want to play that with your full team? I don't know. I'm just trying to put myself in, like, a player's shoes. Like, if I was playing, I would probably, like, lose four. I probably wouldn't let that happen. Like, I probably would want
to think
the
Chris
is, actual team.
Bro, to I mean, Chris's bro, point, I, they I, wanted to give their friend a shot. Like, I don't – I think you guys are, like
– Yeah, I don't think it's that, think it's
in,
that
in
crazy,
a,
bro.
In a league where the six through eight, nine is as close as it is – You want to give your friend a shot when you're playing one of the teams who are in that close
bro,
race?
New York,
that's
bro, come on, dude. New
that's
York,
fugazi either way.
Bro, maybe for the other teams, but you think New York gives a shit?
I think they wanted
think
to give
York
their friend
cares?
A shot,
this
sure,
a bullshit
man, but they
argument.
also wanted to give their friends on Boston a shot. If you know
I
what I mean.
I don't think friends
on
Boston.
You, bro, if you know what I mean, Tom.
This take, bro, get ready to learn X-Defiant, buddy.
I already know X Defiant. I've been working on it for 2 years.
He's been developing it.
Better than this.
Let's go over to the last match of the day. We had the New York Subliners against Boston. Hydro Hardpoint, LSC Low SD, Hotel Control, Hotel Hardpoint, Hotel Search and Destroy. Any thoughts on Avito's guys as we headed to map one?
I mean, New York respecting Boston's strength on Embassy and kind of the rest of the map set for the most part. Makes sense. Obviously, we don't know. You know, New York's playing with a weird team comp. But I thought they were like they battled in this series. Like these maps were fairly close. I thought New York gave it
what if they just
a pretty
told,
good go.
What if they just told Wardy, like, yo, what maps do you want to play or not want to play? And they just let him have it.
They probably did that. Wardy, what's your best maps?
I mean, Wardy, I do want to say this. I do want to say this. I think Wardy's a good player. I think he's a good player, though.
I think with experience in the more experience in the league, and obviously with a team that has ideal roles, because at the same time, they had a player that's running a submachine on their team, running an AR. He could definitely be a good asset to a team, but I think a lot of people know that. I think if you followed the Vanguard season at all, Wardy was gross. I think he just got, obviously, he was a sub.
Wait a second.
Whoa, go ahead.
What am I seeing right now?
What's the matter, Slay?
Who would NYSL have gotten if they would have won this match?
Vegas.
They would have got Vegas in the bracket?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And if they lost, they would have got who?
They're playing Toronto? Who are they playing? Are they? No, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Toronto, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not too sure. Somebody's got to look at that. I'm not too sure.
Kids in the chat and said, bro, it's not that deep.
We'll go back to it. I want verification.
Bro, it's not that deep. I got a DM from Kismet. I got a DM from Kismet. It's not that deep. We spoke around the beginning of the year about Wardy because he was a close friend that if we were in a position where we wanted to allow him to shine and show his talents, we would allow it. We had a team talk and every single person was down. Then we had a talk on who would be down to sub out, and Caesar was more than happy to do so. Obviously, Caesar's very wholesome. He was the first person to volunteer.
Am I getting a... None of us wanted to lose. That's exactly what I said 10 minutes ago, and you roasted me.
Let's get the fucking wins in the chat. Just because that's their opinion doesn't mean we agree with it, Ben.
From someone that committed the crime? Like criminals don't lie?
Criminals, bro.
Am I going to get a quote from someone who committed the crime?
All right, bro. Listen, all right, Bulldog, you're going on a leash, buddy. You're grounded. Get to the doghouse with you.
Yeah, honestly, this map was pretty back and forth. Let's go to the listening with the New York Subliners. They're playing with Wardy. Let's see how the boys sounded.
Relax, okay? With Bishop Red, okay?
Ready?
I don't see him bridge. Give me broken probably. Army cut.
Time, Vivid.
Yo, make cut.
Vivid from Satan.
He's by Arches right now.
Top dome.
One to Vivid.
Arches, I can't get over the pets like criminals.
He got me. He's on bridge. Nice. One shot time. Yo, fight this other.
Time done.
Nice.
Give me top dome. Yep,
I'm getting in the water. I need your top dome.
I'm getting broken, okay? Take your time.
I'm not gonna be broken for sure. Are we done? Let's take him for this. I don't see top dome.
He needed from back P2. Yo, get
that. I got top.
I'm doing the water shit with an air, okay?
Mid steps.
Oh, I don't see him time.
I'll be done. Backside time.
Backside time.
B1, elbow. Ready? He went down. Yeah, he jumped in the water, I think.
Ready? Needing time here. One's gonna be back. Yeah, P1 cutting. Weak.
Yeah, we're rapid for P1. Hold.
He's P1 barrel.
He's
top down.
Top down, P1.
Yep.
Top dome, you have streaks. Nice. Oh, we're kidding, you have streaks.
Ready.
I'm a step, sir. I'm a cut.
Someone's trying to
top dome.
Top dome, one shot. One broken, rotating out arches. Arches right now. Freeze, arches.
Absolute. We might split behind.
We're good.
I'm watching the right. Vivid, wake, listen, cramp and bean.
I have trophy on new.
I'll block the back, alright?
Good kick.
Cramp and bean.
Yo, he did wall route. Front cramp.
Alright, looking for beans as well.
Ready?
I'm sucking your water.
P1, absolute beans. Yo, one's top right of new. He's at new.
Yeah,
I'm coming. We spawned out.
Yeah.
What's the
difference? Alrighty, that's gonna do it for the listening for the New York Subliners. I thought they sounded pretty good. What did you guys think? Thought the listening was good?
To me, the only one that sounded like they wanted it was Wardy, Tom.
What do you mean? But Hydro was literally like, P1.
No, that was Paco Wardy. Hydro was the one going, Hydro was like, yo, calm down. You guys are talking way too loud. We're not supposed to do this good.
No, I don't think Paco said that. I don't even think he said that, Pat.
That's all I heard.
I thought that's selective hearing, man. I think Boston did a pretty good job on his P3, just keeping it hill wide. They end up just running through front here. We kind of see how it all plays out. They're able to spawn a few players out, and it was just good play some night. I think New York maybe just went a little bit too crazy here. They just overchow mid-map, and it was actually the Boston Breach who was able to flip some of these spawns. You can see Wardy, he ends up going down first. And in Boston, they end up just getting pushed up on the map. So they're able to get Wardy to spawn out. And then Beans finds another kill onto Kismet, who's challenging out front, which I think Kismet should try and chill a little bit there until there's less time on that old time, just so he doesn't flip out like that. Because a couple guys end up flipping out. And Boston doesn't get a lot of time, but this hill is just white for so long that for a team that didn't have a rotation, I thought Boston was able to get in there. They ended up getting like the last 20-30 seconds, but it was a good play from them. Thought maybe New York there on the rotation, they need to just get a little bit more discipline there. They ended up losing some fights, and Boston do a good job. We go into the second P4. This is where NYSL bring it back. They get a really good setup. They end up just rotating, holding. They lock down a lot of this P4. And then here, the P5, Kremko's insane. He ends up saving this hill. I thought New York was about to get in here and make a play, but take a look at the plays here. From Kremp. He's going to jump down, line two guys up. He's going to find two, jump the corner, find the third. Last guy coming through back door and take Geddes. He finds four. phenomenal plays coming out of Kremp. That four piece was big because they ended up locking down the last of that 25 seconds and coming into the later half of this game. That is really big time. So really big plays coming in from Mr. Kremp himself. And then we get into the last and final hill. And I thought going into this P2, it was just kind of, you know, these two guys in the back, it was Wardy and P-Dog. They got to kind of go big. They got to try and make a hero play happen. But Beans and Awakening, they go massive. Beans gets a massive two kills to the front. I feel like Beans did a good job here recognizing that two players were still spawning out. You can see him turn around. He was able to find one, and he turns the corner. He turns around, helps his guys on hill, and he finds two kills. Just good awareness from Beans to recognize that there were splits coming in. Two guys were going around, and he was able to turn around and pick up those pinches. So big plays from Beans there. It was a really good play from him. Take a look at the final scoreboard. 28 and 21 from Beans, 24 and 16 from Big Wake. Everybody from Boston pulling weight in the damage department. On the other side, pretty even across the board. It was a good map one. Any final thoughts on the map one, guys? Between New York and Boston. Any thoughts, guys? Any thoughts?
No, it was a good gritty hydro battle map one. I thought Wardy looked good. And you know, for New York, maybe opportunity in the search with Wardy. Maybe, you know, just timing's a little bit different. And it was also a battle. I thought New York actually played really good getting off to a good start in this one.
Yeah, and then we hop into the LSCLO S&D first round. Hydra, he snipes over field while Kismet just runs right through. Hydra finds a snipe. Kismet's able to get pushed up all the way here towards Top Mountain, and Beans, he gets caught off guard. I mean, it was just a B hit from NYSL, and they sent one guy field, one guy looking over him, and then the other two guys just kind of watched their pinch and played through mid, and it worked out flawlessly for them. They go up 1-0. this round, I was a little annoyed with Beans. I mean, in a 1v3 situation, listen, I know that it's tough to clutch a 1v3, but at least try to clutch the 1v3. At least try. I just didn't, with 35, 40 seconds left, 30 seconds left, he just sits top here. He just sits up here. He doesn't even try and get the W. If he was on a streak, I would understand that, but I would
he's
like to
saving
see
his gun, bro. He's yes, on an eco. He's on an eco round. Oh, like he's got
to
make sure he's
stall, it. Stall attack, bro. You want to bring it to the next round? Like that shit's expensive.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I was just like, come on, bro. At least trying to kill, bro. You run straight to that bomb with 30 seconds left. Maybe able to find one kill. Maybe shit on somebody. Make it a one. You know what I mean? He might have been able to do something.
Wait, I'm
I
actually
know it's
mind
hard,
blown.
Bro.
He gave them their field upgrades.
Everything
back,
trophies, like, yeah. Dead silence. Fucking.
He's not even on streaks.
You know what I mean? They were just—it was perfect for them. It was perfect for New York. Let me go into the next round. In New York, they do the same thing. They end up playing towards B. Kremp was able to find a blood. They make it a 3v3 situation. But P-Dog, he ends up playing through field with Hydra looking over him with a snipe once again. And he ended up getting his bomb down. Wardy was actually going rogue here in the middle of the map. He throws a stun down, finds Kremp over on the A site while he's doing all this. You can see the NYSL boys, they're working the B plan. P-Dog finds a kill top middle and 2v1. B plan goes down. P-Dog in a 1v1 situation. I thought Beans might have had an opportunity to clutch this here. He does a good play getting Hydra, but P-Dog calls in a dead silence. He's able to get the 1v1 win. P-Dog, and they're NYSL, they go up 3-0. This was actually a really quick map. They end up winning this one 6-1. We'll kind of run through it and just see how it all goes down. Look at Beans here in his play in a 1v1. This was an interesting play out of Beans. He doesn't go for the bomb plant. He plays
Wait,
the kill, and he catches Wardy slipping.
This play, Wardy is so faded, bro. Like, New York was cursed to booking him a first-class pick of the China after
this one,
bro.
There was 0.5 seconds left, literally. Bro, once it hits, like, 1 or 2 seconds, do not, like, he's probably not on it. Like, don't check it. And if he is on it, then fuck it. Like, just check it. After the bomb goes down, just hold it. You know what I mean? And
not even that. He got gunned.
Yeah, he lost. Well, I don't think he expected him to be challenging like that. I think Wardy was fucking mind blown. That was the only round Boston was.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
And then Wardy, he makes a good play. NYSL, they get the rush. They rush A to get the bomb down. Pretty typical round from NYSL. Pretty normal round. Just rushing A, getting it down, playing a post plant. This round is when Wardy takes the route, led the route here, taking a risk, playing confident. You can see him on a minimap, number 6 now. He starts making his play right through Keg Lane. He ends up jumping up here through top window. He finds Beans, and he throws the tactical down, and he's able to take down Reese Vivid as well. So fantastic plays coming out of Wardy. He makes up for that 1v1. He finds a nice two-piece. It was a team ace. Nobody from NYSL died. And then we go into the last and final round where NYSL were able to work some trades. It actually starts with Kismet, who was able to find a pick onto a guy trying to pinch left side. Beans tries to get aggressive. Maybe just a loose fold, trying to get aggressive route. Maybe he's just trying to make something happen. Beans, he gets picked out. and NY Cell with the numbers. They're able to work this A bomb site and just work some trades. They work into A and they run in there and they use their numbers. Big trades make it a 2v1. Kremp and a 1v2 gets one, but it was actually Paco who was able to find the second kill. Kremp bumping his headset here. Soundhorn, here's Wardy coming around the corner. He actually ends up challenging Paco here with the drop shot. But Paco, not letting it happen. They're able to win the map. Take a look at the scoreboard. Everybody from NYSL pulling weight, man. 7-3, 7-3, 7-2. Everybody frying. 5-4 from P-Dog on the other side. Rough map from Reese, Wake, all of them, to be honest. A little bit of a rough map.
Good map out of New York.
Yeah, good map from New York. They were able to get one on the board. So it's good plays from them. And then we hop into the hotel control. Hotel control is interesting. P-Dog, he goes on a 9 spree to start off the map. He goes absolutely insane. They were on board with him a little bit. You can see him with the sub in hand. I think he picked up a scar as well. Number 7 in the minimap. He was just all over the map. Able to find one here, finds two. He's in that rhythm. And Pat and Chris, I know you know this because you guys used to play. Ben, you play a little bit, maybe you know this, but when you have both guns in your back pocket and you're hitting that rhythm, there's no better feeling than that. When you're a player with a sub and an AR, you could kind of just do it all.
You feel like him, Tom.
You feel like him. Like P-Dog called rhythm here. And the sad thing was he goes on a 9 spree and they
still, don't mean shit.
It don't mean jack shit. one, I'm not really too sure what Wardy was doing there when he was kind of wide challenging like that. He was just look at his play here. He was just standing in the open, just like L trigger, Hudrian and Arch. I mean, bro, you got a bunch of benches there. You might want to try snaking something and abusing the snakes or something, because Boston, they're able with 9 seconds left to get onto the 8 point. They extend the time, and then after that, I just like the routes here from Boston. I like how they wrap back to bedroom. They clear out bedroom here. You see how they just get a clean wipe. They're able to get onto this point, work a stack, and they win the first round. They go up 1-0. So just good routes from Boston instead of just overextending over and over and over again. They wrap back. They get bedroom control. They work kills. And they were able to stack the point. They're really good at this map. NYSL, and then going into the defense, at the end of the round, it was Reese Vivian who makes a big play here. He ends up going massive. He picks up the AR, and he gets tucked here. He was also able to find a little bit of a streak as well. But he was just locking out his 8 point. NYSL weren't able to get any point here. And it's because at Boston, they were doing a good job just having somebody hold that B side of the map. You see Big Wake, he's back there by himself just watching the OE. And Reese Vivid, just with that AR, was just mowing them down. NYSL couldn't get out of kitchen. They were trying everything they could, but Boston Breach did good jobs holding their lane, hitting some nice shots. And Reese Vivid, you can see here at the end, able to find a few more kills with the help of Beans. They were able to lock it down. NYSL, no hope here on the control. They were able to bounce back on a defense and hold on defense, but Boston Breach, they go back on their defense, and they were able to close it out. So nothing too crazy here on the control. It was pretty comfortable here for Boston Breach. Their control has been insane. What's Boston's record on control right now?
Recently. In the season or the stage?
Recently, this stage. What is their control? I think even in the interview they were talking about it, but their control record has been insane right now.
They have played 5 series, and they are 5-0 in control.
I'm not surprised, bro. These guys love TDM, bro. They are a bunch of kill whores.
Here's the interesting thing. As good as they are in control, they've won 1 search this entire split so far, so that's interesting. They played great in control, but they can't win searches. So I'm curious to see how that dynamic comes when they get to do this event.
Chris, I'm going to defer to you here for your challenger expertise. In challengers, who would you say Wardy's, you know, really good friends are down there? Would you say Crimp and Beans?
No, I would not. Wardy's actually are. Wardy's actually really reserved. He hangs out a lot with like the European people and then his like NA team. Like he's
Beans?
No, not Beans. I wouldn't say probably Beans, no. Maybe a little bit, but no.
Pat's trying to do an investigation here.
I don't know what he's doing, dude. This guy's trolling, bro.
I'm doing what the CDL should be doing then.
You mean Beans?
Kid's been with a rough map with that AR in a role he's not really used to. He's probably going through it. He had a rough one, but it was a good job from Boston Breach. They just
dun, dun, dun.
Good job, everybody pulling away on a breach side. And then we go into the last and final map. We go into a hotel hardpoint. Things start off pretty good here for Boston. They were able to get some pretty good time here on the P4. Kind of see Boston end up breaking into this initial P3. You can see Wardy was there early. You can see how it kind of all unfolds, but they were able to get some good time here. It was a good pickup from Kremp to just feel that presence, to feel those other guys flooding him. Instead of rushing into that hard point, they kind of play the outer kills first before collapsing. Always think that's a good play when people are picking up on people spawning out and playing for those kills first. That way you can use your numbers when you hit the hill. Just really good break from Boston to just be patient, play their kills, and then hit the hill together. They end up getting some pretty good time here. I know NYSO is able to get back in there at the last second, get the last 20, but as they break in at the last 20, that allows Boston Breach to get a really good setup here on a P4 hardpoint. They're able to get a lot of time here. I like the setup too. Just get a guy in hill, get a guy main desk, watch your pinch, and you're good to go. Because even if you die, you're going to spawn here. You just work trades. Boston Breach, they were able to lock down some time. They get the trades here. You can see they're spawning close. They do a good job just pushing out mid, watching their mid pinches, and getting to that main desk. They were able to lock down a lot of time. Reese Vivid makes a good play as well, getting pushed up here and getting a couple kills, playing, you know, getting aggressive off those kills, getting pushed up on a map. Boston Breach, they were able to build their lead a little bit here as they go up about 20 or 30 points. And then, of course, NYSL, they start bringing it back a little bit as we get into the last and final hill. As we head into the second rotation of hard points, it was pretty much a tie game. And then this is where things start getting a little bit interesting. We go into the second P2. This is where NYSL was able to get a big hold. I thought Wardy was making some good plays, pushed out. He was getting kills. And then P-Dog, obviously, on this godheady, NYSL was able to lock a lot of this down. Kismet holding this angle here. I think he ends up falling here. If he would have got a kill there, it would have been big. But P-Dog, he's able to get a couple kills. Hydra and Wardy follow in, and NYSL were able to get some time, and then it's a race over towards that second P3. Boston, they're the ones who get in there early, but it was NYSL who was able to break in. It starts with Paco, just staying alive in the back, just being a nuisance. It just kind of annoys Boston, being the a thorn in the side of Boston Breach. Just staying alive back here, waiting for his team, and then you can see Wardy. He wins a big one-on-one front. He tries to collapse on the hill here. Boston, they were able to lock down some time here before NYSL was able to get in here. I don't even know how Boston was even able, how they've lost this. Paco gets one. Wardy and Kismet kind of run through the front, and Kismet, he finds two. I mean, it was just a good
Priesta,
swarm here.
Priesta bought so much time and lured so many players out of the hill. Reese was initially one of the players on the hill. Said he runs out the back, and then, like, they chase him out. And then it ends up making, so he buys so much time, there's only one Boston player in the hill when New York end up flooding in.
Yeah,
you'll see. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, Vivid tries to jump out at P-Dog, and then they can't kill him. He just does a good job just staying alive, and you can see all the Boston players focusing him. And as they focus him, that opens up the gap, right, for his teammates to kind of just run in there. Good plays from P-Dog. That's why playing your life is so important. You can play your life and be annoying, it just helps your teammates out. It just makes the other team panic. Really good plays there from P-Dog. Then in the second P5, I had Bulldog. He kind of kept it going here. Boston had a pretty good lead. They did a good job just picking up the last 20 and 30 seconds of that last hill. And then as we go into the P5, I'm thinking New York might have a chance to bring this back. They get a clean wipe. This is a good opportunity for them to get a pretty big hold here. And then as they all fall, it was actually the Bulldog who was fucking trying to play for his life here, bro. He was going crazy. He was laying down in the middle of the hill, and they couldn't kill him. He finds one on the big wake. All his teammates are dying around him. Shit is blowing up. The Clayster vapes are everywhere. He finds another one on the beans, jumps the corner, finds another one on the cramp. I don't know how Kismet was able to stay alive here. I thought for a second New York might have been able to make a comeback here. But I will give it to Boston. They do a good job getting to that new hard point. Maybe a little bit of a misplay from New York. They did have the good spawns initially, but they ended up losing it. You see Paco, he comes off spawn. He ends up pushing through mid. He didn't block Kitchen. Maybe a little misplay from Paco there. Maybe he should have just stayed like Kitchen until his teammate spawned up. Just keep that spawn blocked. What do you guys think? Keep it blocked and then maybe wait till those guys spawn out and then try and make a play. Because instead he pushes up and he ends up spawning. The Boston team ends up spawning right behind him. So I think it was maybe a little bit of a misplay there from Mr. Paco.
Running back.
Yeah, you see, so look, Kismet goes big. He gets one kill. I think maybe he would, because Boston could have won there. I don't think Paco thought that Kismet was just gonna go rogue like that and piece up their whole team. I think that's why Paco ended up giving up the spawn, because he was like, "Fuck it, I gotta go. Like, I gotta make a play here."
Well, I think he assumed that number 7 was gonna spawn on his side, and he did not spawn there.
Right,
and so that's why,
I don't even know how that even, you know what I mean? How did it? That's just like
if Paco wouldn't have gone through mid, he probably would have retained the spawn by just taking the normal route to hill.
Yeah, I think him pushing out of mid, I don't know. I think he might have messed up a spawn.
He might have opened it. Yeah, I think if he was still fucking like cat room or like freezer, whenever like that guy would have spawned, he probably would have spawned.
Because then bossing at the good spawns and they just hold. They hold. They play corners like back kitchen. They get a pretty clean wipe here and they were able to close this one out. They only need 20 seconds to win. They have New York spawning front. They have them funneled here and bossing with the spawns and everything. The crossfires. New York wasn't able to get in. And this series was all she wrote. Boston Breach. They win the series 3-1. 39-24 from Big Wake. What a map out of Big Wake, man. He went fucking crazy. 32-20 from Kremp. Everybody pulling away from the Boston Breach, but really good map from Big Wake and Kremp. I thought actually, to be honest, Big Wake and Kremp, they were everything. To be honest with you, they were fucking everything in that map.
I'd still kind of wish this Boston team would try out someone else for Beans, but I feel like the Major 5 online qualifier was their chance to do so, and obviously they went with the Vivid for Nero play.
Beans has been going crazy this stage.
He's still inconsistent. Way too inconsistent for me, and I think he's also very inconsistent on LAN as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, either way, they got their Kremp pickup, they got Vivid back, and they've been looking better since. If they do really want this LAN, we probably won't have this conversation, but we'll see. As for Wardy, because I mean, I think this guy's obviously the real star of the show since he got his opportunity. I think Wardy's a good player. I don't think he had any too bad of stinker maps. I think he played all right. I think, like I said before, I think if you give this guy an opportunity in a league next year, because I think submachine guns are usually pretty hard to come by, I think some team will be pleasantly surprised because he's actually a very talented kid. So good for him for being able to at least go out there and not drop a stinker.
Yep, he was doing his thing for sure. Wardy's a good player. But yeah, New York, they play with a sub. They end up losing. Boston Breach, good plays. And then here we are. We have the Major 5 bracket for the Toronto Ultra.
Before we get into this, Tom, I want to ask.
Yeah.
Is there any reason that I'm limited to bet only up to 250,000 channel points on Ben missing the putt? Because that's what I was trying to bet all my channel points. But I'm limited at 250,000 on no.
Is there a limit? That's weird. I don't know. I don't know how that stuff works. If there's a limit with that shit, I don't even know. I have no idea. That would be cool though if you could drop all of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On one thing, just
yeah,
go all
that's
in.
What I was trying to do. All in on Ben's future.
Not as said, you can only do a quarter of a million per Twitch rolls. That's a not as said in your chat.
Twitch got to update them.
Well, let's take a look here at the final bracket, right? This is going to be the bracket for the last major of the season before we head into Call of Duty Champs. Let's take a look. We start things off. We got winners round one. We got Optic Texas going up against Florida. We got Boston Breach going up against Minnesota. Atlanta FaZe versus Vegas Legion. Toronto Ultra versus New York. And then in losers bracket, we have LA Thieves, London Royal Ravens, Seattle Surge, and Los Angeles Gorillas. They'll find out who their opponents are as the winners bracket go through their matches. But I say we could go through some of these matches, give our thoughts on some of these matchups, and guess who we think is going to win the overall event. We'll start off with Optic Texas going up against the Florida Mutineers. I definitely think this is an event where Optic need to come out and take care of business, right? They've been going crazy the last two stages. They've definitely been looking like the best team online. I think this is their tournament to win, to be honest. They've been looking really good going into it. I know there's been some little rivalry cheese, right, with the Dave Patty back in the day in Florida, right? Optic fans in Florida, they don't really mix. But people are saying it's not a Florida curse. It's a Dave Patty curse. I know Vickle tweeted out, I'm benching myself and bringing in Dave Patty. So shout out to Vickle. But who do you guys think is going to win this first matchup? I'm probably going to go with Optic in this one. I think Optic is going to come out and do what they do. You know what I mean? But who do you guys got? Chris, who do you got?
Optic. Easy choice.
Ben, you going with Optic as well in this first matchup?
I got Optic, but a little bit of a curveball, some first series cheese. I think this one's going to go to a game 5, and I think you're going to see Ant make some big plays for the dub for them to sneak by in the series.
Interesting. Slay, what do you got, Slay? You got Optic in this one?
This was interesting for me, Tom. If it was any other team, I would say Optic here, but because it's the Mutineers, round one,
uh-oh,
a day one matchup,
mm-hmm,
I think it could get interesting. I agree with Ben. I disagree with him, actually, that Shotzi's going to make big plays down the stretch to get Optic a dub.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be Dashy down the stretch that gets him a dub,
Boosie.
Tom.
You think Big Boosie's going to be that guy for them this weekend? You think it's Big
Boosie?
Yeah. Interesting. So, like, he has been on point recently. Boos has been on point. We'll see what happens with Optic versus Florida. I think all of us got Optic. They've just been looking too good in the last couple of stages, especially online. They've been going absolutely nuts. So, and at the events as well, getting top two placings, right? So they're definitely looking to win this one. Then we go into the next one. Boston Breach going up against the Minnesota Rocker. I'm actually going to go out of my way here and say Minnesota Rocker are going to win this one. I just think they've been looking good. I think moving Fame back to a sub did a lot for this team. I think Fame's really good with a sub. I like the plays he makes with it. And I feel like he looks pretty confident with it as well. It looks like he's been hitting form. And then on top of it, I think bringing Dylan back into the roster, it's just something about the team now. It just seems like they're clicking and that they're actually working well together and that they're all on the same page. And I think when you have a team that's all on the same page, they can be looking pretty deadly. So I'm actually going to go with the Minnesota Rocker in this one over the Boston Breach. But Chris, who do you got?
I got Rocker as well. I think Rocker played pretty decent at the last major with Afro on the roster, and they look better now, at least online with Attach. So I expect them to make a decent run. However, if they do lose that match, it's crazy that they end up playing Ravens and Vegas end up playing Surge if they lose to FaZe, man. It's got to be tough if you're a Vegas fan seeing the way this bracket turned out.
Yeah. Ben, what about you, brother?
I'm gonna go a little different. I think Boston will take this last map. I think Boston has matched up well against Rocker, obviously, with different teams throughout the season. I'm trying to remember. I think both times they basically smoked them. Maybe they dropped like one map. But I think this one will be a little bit closer, and I think Boston will clutch up in the game five.
Pat, who do you got in this one?
I got Boston as well in a 2-3-5 victory.
Beneslo.
I also think Beans on day one is a better player than he is on the days 2, 3, and 4 of the event. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Boston Breach.
Are you saying he has no stamina? Is that what you're saying, Pat?
I mean, I didn't say that.
That's interesting, yeah, though. Why do you think he gets worse as the tournament goes on?
I don't know. That's just what I've seen, Tom. I've just seen, you know, him have stats? some insane day one performances. And then we're like, damn, Boston's looking gross. And then come out super flat on the following days. So
the one thing I will say is both these teams have been pretty abysmal at Search and Destroy, at least since Attach came back. And then I think Boston hasn't won one, you said, right, Pat? So, like, these guys don't look too good in Search. So 2-3-5 is going to be a battle.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Boston, Minnesota. And then we got Atlanta FaZe going up against the Vegas Legion. This one's interesting because I know Vegas, they're fighting for their life here. They're trying to get into champs, but they're not going up against an easy team. Atlanta FaZe is definitely a tough matchup for them. I think Atlanta FaZe is going to win this one against the Vegas Legion. I just think FaZe is too strong when it comes to matching up against Vegas. I think they're going to come out and get maybe a 3-1, 3-2. Like, I could see Vegas taking it to the distance, but I don't know if Vegas have it in the tank to take him down. I'm going to go with Atlanta FaZe taking this one. Who do you got, Chris? Who do you got?
I got FaZe. I think FaZe has actually made a lot of improvements in their hard point. I think their Search and Destroy is still good. Their control's still been a bit iffy, but I don't think that's going to come into play when they're playing a team like Legion, unless they troll their absolute map pick, or they troll the vetoes, rather. But yeah, they've made improvements in hardpoint for what I've seen this stage, so I expect this to be a new reinvigorated phase. I think they're going to look better this major, and I don't think Legion are going to be the team that takes them down. So,
all right, Ben, who are you feeling, Ben?
I got FaZe. I think Vegas, more particularly this matchup, are really struggled against FaZe in the Search, which is a game where they need to score up and try and go 1-1. And so I think FaZe will win probably in 3 or 4 maps.
All right. And we got Patrick Price, the Slayer. Who do you got?
Tom, I'm going to save this prediction for when you ask me who's going to win the event. If that's okay with you.
Okay.
What?
So you're saying Vegas is going to win the event or FaZe?
No, I'm saying I'm going to save my prediction of this matchup for when I explain who's going to win the event.
Okay, no problem, because that is what we're going to go into next. So we're going to the next one. We got Toronto Ultra going up against the New York Subliners. I think Toronto's going to come out and take care of business. I think Toronto, they've been looking good. They've been looking strong. Obviously, today they lost against Minnesota. But I think Toronto's still a good team. I think going into it, I feel like they have something that they want to prove, right? I feel like they haven't been really showing out as much as they've been wanting to. But I think Kleenex is clicking at the right time. I think Scrappy's been playing really good. I mean, these guys are a good team, you know what I mean? It's going to be a tough matchup. If there's going to be a nail-biter series, I think it's going to be this one. I think this series could be an absolute nail-biter. I could see this one going either way. But I'll just go with Toronto Ultra. I'm just taking a gamble. I have, honestly, this one was hard for me. I'm not really too sure. Chris, who do you got in this one, Toronto or the New York Subliners?
I think both teams have been playing a lot better this stage in comparison to the last. New York definitely made improvements. Toronto looking pretty much in form for the most part. I think this is going to be a toss-up as well, Tom. But with Toronto having the home crowd, they're gonna win this series.
All right, Benjay, who do you got? That's a good
point.
Oh,
man, this one's hard. I mean, I think Ultra, I looked it up, are 3-1 against New York in this matchup so far this season. Mm-hmm. I think Toronto's going to feel good with the home crowd. I'm still a little concerned about Toronto's ability to close out some of these series, but even if it goes 5, I think the crowd will help them get there, and I have Toronto going through in a fun one against New York.
All right, and then we got Patrick Price. Pat, who do you got?
Toronto masterclass, Tom. Ooh, masterclass,
huh? All righty, and then after all those predictions, I mean, obviously, we don't know what's actually going to happen, but I will say this. Who do you guys think is going to go all the way and win the event? Is there anybody that you think can make a loser's bracket run? Is there anybody that you think is just going to win out through winners? I mean, who are you guys feeling right now? Is it Optic? Is Optic that team right now that people have in our hires? I feel like Optic's definitely been that team that's looked the best so far in this stage, but do you think there's another team that's going to come in and take it? Chris, we'll start with you. Who are you feeling, bro?
I think everyone thinks that Optic's probably going to make it to the finals. They should make it to winners finals. I think Optic's being in grand finals through winners is probably going to come down to that who they play in winners. I think if FaZe beats Ultra in winners, which is what I predicted at least, they'll probably make it to grand finals through winners, because as we know, the Optic FaZe matchup is just heavily Optic favored. But if they play Toronto, I mean, Optic is a stronger team right now, but Ultra is going to be feeling it. They're going to be coming off a win against FaZe, which is always a tough opponent for them. And then they're going to have the home crowd behind them. So I'm hoping Optic and Ultra play in winners finals, but I think we'll have FaZe and Optic.
Yeah, Benjay, who do you got, Mr. Benjay? Who do you got, man?
I agree with Chris. We'll get FaZe Optic in the finals. I think Optic Search is too good right now. So unless that Mega falls off, I feel pretty comfortable in saying that I think they're going to win this event.
You think? Say that again? Who do you think is winning?
I got Optic winning. Because they haven't lost a Search this split. And we know SND wins chips. We know that in the series that they have played in finals, that game 5 searches knock on their way. I think they'll take care of it this time and get it done.
Mm-hmm. And then, Pat, you wanted to wait for this moment. The moment is yours.
So, Tom, this is what's going to happen at Major 5.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
The Vegas Legion are going to upset FaZe round 1 in a Game 5 standing masterclass.
Mm-hmm.
From there, Tom, FaZe is going to drop to the loser bracket. They're going to play Seattle Surge round 1.
Okay.
From there, Tom, they're not going to drop a single map all the way through the loser bracket.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get to
the grand final.
This is a crazy story.
They're going to play Optic Texas, and they're going to smoke them 4-2 in the grand final. And FaZe will be your Major 5 champion.
Wow.
Pat's been on point with his predictions recently. We got to tip Pat. He's been.
Did you guess the last 3 of them, Pat? I think you did.
Yeah, all of 2023, Tom, I've been flawless.
Bro, we have the reverse sweep later. How? And there is absolutely no way that this is going to match up your predictions there, Pat. There's no way.
Yeah, because you guys never agree with my predictions on the reverse sweep, and you're always wrong. And if you would have listened, all our brackets would have been flawless in 2023.
I need to go back and watch and fact check that.
It is pretty typical that you've been getting these right, bro.
He's been getting the winner right every time.
Yeah, I don't know how. He's been calling
the
it,
winner, but everything else before the winner, he's been wrong. So don't let him
Yeah, but I mean, that's still tippable.
The winner's tippable. The winner's tippable.
Yeah, that's definitely still tippable for sure. But yeah, guys, that's going to do it. I mean, taking a look at the bracket, I mean, I'm really excited for Major 5. I believe me and Ben are flying in tomorrow. We're flying in on Monday.
I will be there Wednesday, and Pat will probably be there, what, Friday night, Saturday?
I got flying Friday morning.
Friday morning.
Okay, so Pat will be there Friday morning. Me and Ben are flying tomorrow. The next 3 days, I'll be in Toronto before I think streams will probably resume on Thursday. Maybe I'll get a stream in somewhere at the Toronto office or something.
We gotta do a stream on Wednesday. We gotta do at least a test stream, make sure everything works.
Yeah, we'll do a stream on Wednesday. Maybe do a little test stream on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. You guys can take a look at the setup and everything and what we got going, and we'll talk a little bit about the matches and stuff, and we'll get into it. But I'm definitely excited to get over to Toronto, set everything up, and get the final major of the season on our way. It's been a long season, ladies and gentlemen. It's been an absolute pleasure running all these flanks. We're coming in to the very, very end now. There's not much left. We get to the last major, and then that decides your seedings for Call of Duty Champs, which would be held in Las Vegas. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well. And then, of course, we got the off season, which will be a lot of roster mania. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of stuff going on, maybe hear a lot of rumors, maybe some leaks. I really don't know what to expect this roster mania. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of movement. So I'm very, very interested, or very excited, actually, for the off season, because I think it's going to be interesting to see where people end up and who goes where and what the teams are going to shape out to be. But Ben Genesine, why don't you sink us out with a putt? Right now, it's $9.5 million on Benjay making the putt and $6 million on him not making the putt. So let's see if Benjay Nassim can sink the putt, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be honest. He's been absolutely flawless recently. He hasn't been missing any putts. He's been stepping up to the plate and letting them fucking rip. And there he goes. He's got his stinky fucking slippers on. Once again, Benjay Nassim stepping up, and he sinks the putt nice and easy.
There goes that man.
Heading into Major 5, and it's Benjay Nassim with no
glasses on. And I just made 172,000 channel points because I bet on yes, but told Ben no.
That's shit.
Reverse psychology, been thinking for the channel points.
Hey, let's get it.
Shot.
Ah, oh, that's a good happening, bro. I like it.
Using a reverse psychology, ladies and gentlemen. Man, he's never wrong, guys. Never wrong. Give it up for Patrick Price, ladies and gentlemen. As always.
Wait, hold on. Tom, don't take us out yet.
Not yet, Pat. What's up? Talk to me.
I got
to
add something.
Of course, Pat. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Putting it up right now.
The floor is yours.
I'm adding it.
Do whatever you got to do. We'll sit here and wait to see what Patrick Price has for us today, ladies and gentlemen.
My man's loading the memes up. Let's take a peep.
What does he got? Ready?
Yeah.
Does Ben sink the paw, asshole? You went, damn, 419?
Okay.
Man.
Okay, I got Pat some fucking funds, some channel
tippable
points.
That's fucking tippable. That's tippable.
I take like, you gotta tip me. We're gonna get like 10%.
We gotta make 400K over 40K. We gotta do is add here. Some like channel point challenges. That way, if somebody gets enough, you know, they can spend their channel points on one of us doing a challenge. You know what I mean? We gotta try and figure out.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, or in the YouTube comments, maybe comment down below in the YouTube comments, what are some cool challenges that you guys want to see. Go ahead, Ben. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, maybe Pat? They could like do a competition to win them some merch. Speaking of, Tom, my Stallions merch shipped out today.
Let's go. Yeah, there's
so
been a
I
lot
will
of...
be getting that very soon.
Yeah, there was a lot of orders. I know I've been working with Create and those guys, Aaron Create. You know Aaron Create from Rich and Lonely.
Yeah,
guys over there. They had a few drops. They had the Breakdown drop, our drop, a Better Days Ahead drop. So there's just a lot of orders. They were doing the best they can to get everything out. But yeah, I'm glad people are starting to get their tracking numbers. So make sure to track that. Orders should be shipping out. If you haven't gotten anything, you should be getting something probably tomorrow at the latest or sometime during the week. So just make sure to check your emails because you should be seeing something like that. But guys, that's going to do it for us. As always, today's show was presented by the Xfinity 10G Network. Doesn't matter if you're gaming, streaming, competing, you're going to get the fastest speeds with less interruptions. So make sure to go check out the Xfinity 10G Network. Huge shout out to Xfinity. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, go to anchor.fm/theflank to check out all the audio sites that we're on. And go follow @theflank on Twitter. Gersh is doing a phenomenal job running socials. We might even make a flank Instagram, so stay tuned for that. We might even go on there a little bit, maybe post some reels and stuff. So stay tuned. I'll let you guys know about that. Go check out Stallions.club. And as always, man, just thank you guys so much for watching. Next time you'll see us, we'll probably be on Wednesday doing a test stream, getting ready for the major. So super excited for that one. As always, take care, brush your hair, and we'll see you guys next time on another episode of The Flank.
Ni hao.